We are connected on a planetary scale. The same process that has allowed the coronavirus pandemic to spread so far, so quickly, globalization, also means that all our resources, our infrastructure, our food, energy, clothing, our electronic devices, almost everything human-made that we see around us contains some component that someone from somewhere else has worked on. Our economy is global. It affects not only every human, but also every animal, our climate, and every aspect of our environment. Yet most media coverage of the economy focuses on the national level, and when problems like global inequality, poverty, or underdevelopment do get attention, they are often treated as the result of natural forces, or as resulting from corruption or bad governance in developing countries. In this episode of Our Voices, we want to dig deeper into the structures of the global economy to understand why it is that some parts of the world have so much more wealth and power than others. We ask whether the global economic playing field is rigged in favour of rich countries at the expense of lower income countries, and if so, what can be done about it?
For most of human history, life expectancy at birth hovered around 30 years. But today, it is more than 70 years in the world as a whole, and more than 80 years in the more fortunate developed parts of the world. 200 years ago, no more than 10% of people in the world lived a life free of extreme poverty. Today, more than 90% do so. For most of human history, everyone was illiterate. Today, more than 80% of the world's population is literate. Fewer people are dying in wars. Fewer people are starving to death. Fewer people are dying of infectious diseases. Paradoxically, though, as the world gets better and better, the media coverage gets more and more negative. Of course, there are problems, and many of them are horrendous. Acknowledging the world's progress is not a matter of having a sunny disposition or wearing rose-tinted glasses, or seeing the glass half full. It's paying attention to the data. It's paying attention to cold, hard, objective facts.
Before the coronavirus pandemic, it was often claimed by public figures and academics, including Steven Pinker, that humanity had never had it so good, with a billion people lifted out of extreme poverty in the last 25 years, and the economic miracle of China showing that globalization benefits everyone. On the other hand, globalization has recently come under growing criticism from the right, with claims that it has disadvantaged the working classes of the US and Western Europe, some of the richest regions of the world, to the benefit of emerging countries where manufacturing jobs have been outsourced. Then again, back in the 1990s and early 2000s, globalization was under attack from the left, essentially for the opposite reason. The global justice or anti-globalization movement gained mass attention during the 1999 Battle for Seattle against the World Trade Organization. The movement argued that the world economic order was stacked in favor of rich countries and corporations, allowing them to extract value from the global south while outsourcing environmental harm. According to Oxfam's latest report, the world's 2,000 billionaires have more wealth than the poorest 4.6 billion people who make up 60% of the planet's population. Between 2017 and 2018, the wealth of the super rich grew by $2.5 billion per day on average, while the bottom half of the world's population saw their wealth decline by $500 million a day over the same period. It's also important to remember that the poorest people in the global south tend to be a lot poorer than the poorest in the global north. According to the World Bank, even China, which is seen as being an economic miracle, has a per capita GDP of around $9,000, while in the US it's $60,000. In Uganda, it is $600. And inequality within developing and emerging countries has risen even more than in developed countries. While the mainstream narrative to explain these imbalances focuses on corruption and bad governance in lower-income countries, others claim that the rules and structures of the world economy are rigged in favour of rich countries. From this perspective, it is impossible for so-called third world countries to catch up, because the wealth of the first world is achieved at the expense of the underdevelopment of the third world. One's gain is the other's loss.